Paul did not like this book.
Ready Player One.
No.
Well, Paul doesn't like a lot of things that are pretty good sometimes. Sometimes he's right, though. It's hard to tell.
I'm going to read a random passage.
This is going to be terrible.
Greetings, the taller samurai said.
Okay, wait. No, that's all I need. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June. That's the month. June 18, 2012. It's Mike Minali, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
You said we were sparse on news, right?
They're very much more discussion-based
I hope so, because I don't really have much of a second segment here.
Great.
So do that.
Be a great show.
This could not be a very long episode. We'll try, folks. But let's just get to it. You guys know. Let's talk about the news. What the hell's been happening?
So, the big hoopla in the gaming world this past week was this rumored Xbox 720, like, document that came out that is apparently 2 years old, but talked about, like, a Kinect 2 and a 2013 launch for this system and some sort of AR glasses and all kinds of crazy sauce. Now, the weird thing is the document was removed at the request of Microsoft's law firm. So some people are saying that gives it some credence.
Maybe. I mean, but even still, they might want something that was false taken down, too.
Right. Cause,
so that doesn't mean anything, really.
Because, like, what if, like, some document leaked that said, like, I don't know, let's just do something ridiculous. Like, the Xbox 720 will give you candy every time you get an achievement. But, like, if that, like, gets traction, then it doesn't do that. Then
dude,
people
that would
are upset.
Be
so you
awesome
have to.
Awesome feature.
That would be pretty cool. Like, just a Skittle.
Candy.
Yeah. If GamerScore was translated into Skittles, that'd be great.
But, I mean, nothing in there was too crazy, though. Kinect 2, we expect that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I expect Kinect 2 to be, like, Kinect, it works now. Kinect, it works edition.
Well, I feel like it would work a lot better if it was HD, so.
Oh, there you go.
It's really all you need to do is put an HD camera onto the Kinect.
AR glasses, yeah, sure.
It was weird. Like, it's like 3D, but other stuff too, I guess, the way it was designed and shown in this thing. They were very well drawn, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they were probably done. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if this was done by Microsoft. What was 2014?
13.
13? That's the one thing I don't believe. Or at least, maybe they thought that it would be 2013 back when they announced this thing, or back when they made this document.
Right.
In 2010, but I don't think it's coming out any earlier than 2014. You know, like, you know, this stuff's going to start happening now. We're going to...
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's weird. We've never really been in a console cycle this long. It's still confusing.
You're confused.
Well, you know, I still find it weird when you have the people who are like, oh, the graphics are good enough.
Oh, they're not, yeah. I know.
If I told you I was going to build a gaming PC with 512 megabytes of RAM, do you know what that would mean?
You'd always know in bytes. I don't even know how much that is.
I'd have twice as much RAM as a PS3, yeah, and the same amount as a 360.
Well, I mean,
you have 4. I have 8 gigs.
Just by watching the trailers for Watch Dogs and Star Wars 1313.
Yeah.
I kind of know what I think next generation games are going to look like. And we've had, like, the demos for the next Unreal Engine.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's coming next, and it is, and it's coming. I mean, that's kind of my important thing to you, is do you care about Kinect 2 and AR glasses, or do you just want a more powerful Xbox 360?
I want the more powerful Xbox 360. The AR glasses, I mean, that being a fairly nebulous
that's
thing.
That's going to be so gimmicky.
Could be interesting.
It'll be interesting. I bet it will not be cared about after, like, the launch. It'll be like the 6-axis. It'll be fun. It'll be like the AR cards from Nintendo games. You know, those are cute.
Yeah.
I tried them out once, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Do you even know where yours are?
No, they're somewhere.
Yeah, I think mine are in a drawer. but we do know that the Wii U is coming out this holiday, and last week Jimmy Fallon had his Game Week.
Game Week.
Did you see the segment with the Wii U?
I didn't see it. I posted it, but I didn't see it.
Well, so he's doing, like, the opening show, like, here's what we got today, everybody. And you just tell me if this sends out a red alert. This is the new system. You add it to your Wii, or you don't even need to use the Wii. Do you need to use the Wii? You can just use it on your own, but you can also use it with the Wii. That's what he said.
He has no idea. That's what everybody thinks, by the way, also.
CNN ran a similar article where they positioned the Wii U as a peripheral for the Wii, which they later corrected.
But yeah, no one understands what it is.
Even by Nintendo's own admission, last year's E3 in 2011, they regretted putting the controller so far forward and not so much the hardware.
They still never really showcased like the actual system.
Well, they showed like
which looks a lot like a Wii. Also, still.
Well, they're purposely designing it so it won't go vertical, because that will help it not look like a Wii.
I guess.
Okay. I don't. I feel like Nintendo's gonna have a big messaging problem right now.
Well, that'll be solved, like all things with money and marketing, before it comes out. Once the TV ads start running, I think people will understand.
Do you think they should have not called it Wii something?
I'm always back and forth on that, because obviously you would avoid this problem you have right now, but that is a very strong brand name, especially when we see the interface for this thing and like the Mii Plaza. It's very much still in that whole Wii branding, mm-hmm. of thinking things where everything's very social and very white, very clean, you know what I mean? So I understand why they kept the branding. Maybe there could have been a better way to make it sound newer than just Wii U. I don't know. Even if honestly calling it the Wii 2 may have been a better idea.
Yeah.
Because then it's instantly, okay, it's the next Wii.
Right.
Like, I know it's not very creative, and people, they may have mocked that as much as Wii U, but it may have been the better thing to do.
I could have called it the Super Wii.
Yes. No.
I'm not serious.
Yeah. But just something. Because Wii U, they were trying to be cute. Like, yeah, I see what you did there, but now everyone's confused. Well, especially
like,
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you think they need to stop focusing as much on the controller? I mean, I know that's kind of what's going to make that system unique, but at the same time, it is one of four control inputs for that system.
Yeah, it's all very weird, because I still don't understand, like, is that where the system lives and dies? Like, especially when you have that that Pro controller. So is the tablet always going to be an option? Are some games going to require it? Is it only going to be required to do certain things in a game? Could you even play Zombie U without the tablet controller? I don't understand still. Right. I don't think a lot of people do. And, you know, there's this whole issue, like, oh, you can't use more than one tablet at a time. Well, maybe you can do two eventually, but the frame rate will drop. But
that's not coming for a while.
Yeah, so people are confused, especially Jimmy Fallon, apparently.
Which is not good, because he talks to a lot
of
people.
You think they would have, like, cleared that up with him before, like, hey, it's time to do the show. What's the Wii U? What is this? Oh, it's for the Wii. No, it's a new system. Oh, but it can be used with the Wii. Not really. No, it's a new system, but you can use the Wii Remote. I'm confused. We all are.
Yeah. So remember when that guy who's in charge of Origin, like, just like a couple weeks ago, was like bashing Steam for devaluing IP by having these massive like 75% off sales?
Yeah, don't
sales?
They have games off for like 75%?
More than that. I believe the sale's limited to the UK at the moment. But, like, you can get Dragon Age Origins, which is usually $40, for $5. That's 87.5% off.
How much are quids going for in dollars these days?
Isn't it almost, like, times two?
I don't know.
I think. Pretty good. I could be wrong. But, yeah. So, I think it's fine and good that they're doing it. I just think it's so funny that such little time ago, and just so recently he was like saying, oh, it's a terrible thing and it's awful, and it's like, oh, we're doing it too. Yeah. Like, someone forgot to like they watched that interview and the engineer's going, shut up.
Dude, we
are doing that. I don't believe you.
I don't believe you. Well, you know, Steam summer sale is happening. When's that happening? Soon, right?
Oh, the summer camp thing? Yeah, that should be coming up. Oh,
Christ.
God. I
look forward to it.
Yeah, we almost loathe these things. Do you know how many games? We should do this for next week. I need to count how many games are in my Steam library that I've never played.
I know. I bought The Witcher 2 last year at the Steam Summer Sale. Never played it.
I got tons of games in that thing I've never
Kyle's
touched.
Kyle's like, oh, it's only $3.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's the thing. You know I own all the DLC for Civ 5.
Civ 5?
Yeah.
God.
The expansion comes out tomorrow, and I'm really excited. Also exciting, Jet Set Radio HD, after expressing some concern, they are only missing two songs from the game. They're That's both good. From the PAL version, so we won't even notice.
I played this on the Vita, actually, at E3.
The Vita version's not coming out till later, right?
Like, I don't know, beats me.
Because I feel like that'd be the one to get.
Yeah, kind of. Although I didn't try the time, but I wonder if you could just do it on the touchscreen like that whole graffiti.
Thing. Yeah, if they do that, that'd be awesome.
But I was just using the analog. Like, it was a weird game to play again, honestly.
Yeah.
Because well, it's the same thing. It's the same exact thing as the first time I played it. It's been so long. I always want to try to play it like Tony Hawk, and it's nothing like Tony Hawk.
Right.
It's a time trial like weirdo spray paint thing. It's cool still. It's fun.
I wonder if the game lets you like mix the soundtracks, or if you have to pick like which one of the three you want. Be cool if they're all just kind of thrown in there.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
So, the new dude at THQ, the former Naughty Dog guy whose name I probably should have written down.
Wait, what? This happened? The guy from Naughty Dog works at THQ?
You missed this whole thing, didn't you?
I guess so.
The co-founder of Naughty Dog, who was no longer there for a while, is the new CEO of THQ.
So he's like there to see the ship go down?
No, he's trying to turn it around. Mm. Well, first of all, last week, I guess we should mention, since you apparently missed all this, he was talking about how they need to stop doing things like Saint Row 3, which are embarrassing.
I did see it was that guy.
Yeah, but like a lot of people were like, but like that's like the best thing you guys have done in a long time. Otherwise, it's just like it's just a GTA clone.
I mean, I can understand why an adult would be embarrassed of it, but it was also their most successful game, and it is very popular. A lot of people liked it,
right,
for being ridiculous. So probably not the best thing to say.
Yeah, but he's committed to no more U-Draw. They're focusing only on AAA games.
It's kind of a weird strategy for 2012. It seems like the opposite of what everybody used to be all about.
Right.
If you're like, we don't want to do AAA games. Make U-Draw.
Well,
Make U-Draw Tiger Edition.
I mean, in his defense,
U-Draw with babies.
The THQ tried a three-pronged approach of U-Draw, licensed children games, and UFC, and almost went under because of it. I mean, this may be what they need.
I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was criticizing Saints Row because he's like, why didn't we make Red Dead Redemption? Well, I don't know. Making Red Dead Redemption was probably very hard, I imagine.
Yeah. It's not like it's easy.
Go ahead, try. I mean, if that's the goal, if that's like the bar, hey, knock yourselves out.
Well, you know what's a really high bar? 5 million people.
In order to ensure that there's another Dead Space after 3.
Yeah, isn't that, like, a lot?
That's ridiculous.
That's stupid.
That's ridiculous.
If that, like, either...
Well, let's say what it is.
Let me pull up the quote here. Frank Gabeau, who's the president of EA, he said, ultimately, you need to get an audience size of around 5 million to really continue to invest in an IP like Dead Space.
What?
I mean,
I don't understand where these numbers keep coming from. Like, same thing with Amalur. Amalur's like, we needed to sell 5 million copies. What?
You need to fix your financials, because that's fucked.
Dead Space 2, which was pretty popular, sold like 2 million in its first 6 months.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. And I mean,
you're not going to do much more than that.
I think Dead Space has become a fairly well-established IP right now. I mean, to go from what like literally nothing as a brand new IP to what it is, right, pretty good.
That's good, because like the first Dead Space did not do as well as 2 at all. And 2 did good, real good. And this one will probably do as good as 2. Maybe a little better.
Yeah, the co-op mode, and it looks fantastic.
But my God, what do they say things like this for? Why would they even tell consumers this?
Because
they're trying to guilt us into it. Like, oh, exactly. We better buy it so we make sure.
It's the whole holding hostage. Ubisoft did it with fucking Rayman.
Yeah, that's the stupidest shit. Like, there's no reason to tell your consumers that anyways. Oh, yeah. We have to sell 5 million copies of it? Fuck you. Good luck.
Yeah, because, I mean, what other reason do you have to say that other than to get the Dead Space fans out there to go into panic mode and be like, oh, shit, well, I got to get on Twitter and tell my friends, yeah, definitely check out the new Dead Space because I want this game to sell, so I keep getting it. There's no other reason to do this.
6 million? Five million. Come on.
No, that's ludicrous. I mean, how many does Call of Duty sell?
I don't know. I mean, they get like 17 million, but it's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's, like, ridiculous. This is still a survival horror game.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Everyone's like, oh, you're making it more action-focused to get to a broader market. A little, but, I mean, it's still gonna scare you. Look.
2 is still scary.
I still think the term survival horror gets thrown around too liberally anymore.
Well, as in, it doesn't really exist.
Silent Hill is survival horror because you're just, like, a guy with a knife. Even Resident Evil, you were still, like, a highly trained SWAT officer or whatever you were.
If it's like a game where you have a gun,
yeah,
you already have a pretty decent advantage.
And you have military training, that's not survival horror. That's, oh, these are zombies now.
Was Resident Evil 4 survival horror? Because 5 definitely wasn't. Was 4?
No. You were a highly trained operative sent in on a secret covert mission to extract the president's daughter. Yeah. That's not survival horror. Survival horror can be scary. Like, monsters have invaded my hometown, and I'm in my basement with the kitchen knife.
You have a bigger issue with the survival part of it than the horror part.
I guess, yeah.
Why don't we just have a horror genre? Why do we have to call it survival horror?
Yeah, exactly. This is kind of my point.
Or action horror. Why isn't it just horror?
Horror.
Because I guess, horror movies are typically, it's just about people dying, right?
Yeah.
So, unless you were cast in the role of the villain of a horror movie, there'd be no point of it, because you would just die.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense.
They try to do that in games like,
like what?
Like Dungeon Keeper and stuff like that.
I don't know if it's scary.
Yeah, it's not really scary. Yeah, I don't know. I realize we're devolving into a little conversation about the horror genre.
I'm trying to help, because I know we had nothing on the show.
But, like...
I think the horror genre is garbage in movies, which differentiates me from a lot of people.
The horror genre is garbage, but also really popular in movies, is they're cheap as shit to make.
Yeah.
But to do that in a game, you have to go all out.
Well, because you can't just, like, set a game in, like, a cabin in the woods.
Right.
I don't know, maybe, I don't know why not, but you don't. Your shit's got to be fantasy or in space to be a video game anymore.
What's really scary in a video game?
I guess amnesia is supposed to be scary, right?
Yeah, because that game fucks with your head. That's why it's scary. Resident Evil's not scary. Resident Evil is just, oh shit, a dog jumped through the window.
That scared me, I guess.
It's like the what do they call, there's a term for it, the surprise scare or something.
Is the point.
Yeah, it's cheap. Something like Amnesia or even, you know, Silent Hill, Eternal Darkness to a degree, they mess with you psychologically. That's why I like The Ring and don't like things like Saw.
I don't think I'd like The Ring either. I don't like being scared, but I have anxiety issues.
So. Yeah, so you have an excuse.
That's no fun. Oh, God, medicate me.
Just pop pills. Oh, God.
Why are these people trying to scare me?
Pause the movie. I need to go to Walgreens.
It's fine when you have tense moments in the game. Like, you know what I almost thought was like a very scary game when it first came out, but now you don't really associate the series with that at all anymore, is Half-Life. To me, Half-Life was a horror game.
Oh, yeah, through Ravenholm?
No, sure. Half-Life 1 I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, Half-Life, because all I remember...
Well, Half-Life 1, this is what I'm talking about. You weren't some military commando. You were a scientist who shot a tennis ball gun when he was in college.
I mean, that was like one of the... Because, like, those enemies were scary to me at the time because they were, like, zombies.
Well, you always had a sense that everything was more powerful than you.
And this is kind of the cheap thing, but you would always be going through vents and there'd always be a head crab who would just jump out at you. Yeah, it'd literally jump out at me. Maybe it was cheap, but that used to scare me. I don't know. Half-Life 2, not really. I mean, Ravenholm was creepy, but meh. All right, what's next? We've milked this. That's it for the news?
So
We milked that.
You know what we could talk about? I meant to write this down. I forgot to. Microsoft's tablet-y thing.
Oh, that looks cool. I'm sorry. I guess I should have more to say about it.
Oh, iPad is in trouble. It's not.
No.
Not at all.
You don't think?
I mean, it's a slick piece of hardware. 16:9 touchscreen running Windows 8. The cool thing about it that, like, everyone is actually really excited about is they have, like, almost like a smart cover for the iPad where it magnetically latches on, shuts.
Right, right.
But the inside of that is actually a multi-touch keyboard and trackpad.
Yeah, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I like, because that's always my problem with my iPad. I can't really
type.
I can type, but I couldn't write on it.
Right.
I couldn't do anything long form.
I see, yeah.
Because I just get, it's too slow.
What's really interesting is there's two classes of this thing. It's called the Surface. I guess we should mention that. There's the one that runs on Windows RT, which, I'm sorry, I'm going to get technical. That's what runs on ARM processors, so your basic kind of mobile processors.
Okay.
And that's going to run just like the Windows 8 App Store apps. It's going to be priced similar to, they didn't announce pricing, but competitive to other ARM-based tablets. So
same as iPad.
Pretty much. 32 and 64 gigabyte, all that. But there's also a version that's coming out 3 months after that runs, you know, on an Intel Core processor. It's full-blown Windows 8 Pro, like the desktop and everything.
Oh.
And this thing has a USB 2.0 port. They said it's going to be priced like Ultrabooks, but people wonder how powerful it'll be, if it'll be able to run any games at all. It could be a very interesting portable gaming system in that regard. You plug a mouse in that USB port, or you use an Xbox 360 controller.
Weird. Well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
If the battery life's good, I mean, it's the right size, it's portable.
Battery life will be the issue of running games, for sure. It's weird. But, I mean, the problem is ultimately, like, you don't have the Apple App Store.
Right.
That's going to be...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to, I don't think they're even going to come close to the iPad, but you know who's fucked?
Android.
Android tablets. Because there's not been a Android tablet, like the one, you know?
Well, which one did Chris get?
He got the Asus Transformer Prime, which you still, it's like hard to find that in stores in like some places. Like, you remember how hard a time he had getting one?
Right.
And I still understand why Google has yet to do what everyone thought they would do and do, like, the Nexus tablet like they did with the phones. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft themselves have, you know, stepped up. We designed the hardware, the software, it's all us. And it looks good for it. I mean, it's a very Apple design philosophy.
Do you think it really has a chance of succeeding, though? Because it's weird, because it used to be, like, Microsoft owned hardware. But now they're making a tablet. You're not so sure if it's going to be around.
Right.
Who made that one tablet that, or tried to make tablets, and they didn't last long at all? And, like, then that tablet was, like, super cheap for a little bit, and everyone was buying it.
Oh, the RIM Playbook. No. I'm sorry. Was it HP? They bought Palm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing. That didn't last long.
Well, there was no software support for it, and it was overpriced. But like I said, this is Windows. The software is Windows. Like, that's what you're running on it. So it's not like it's a lack of apps or anything.
You see what Tycho said in Parakeet? He said Windows used to make shitty hardware and everybody hated it. Now they make good hardware and everybody hates it.
Yeah, they're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right.
It's like everybody's willing to put up with their shit for PC or whatever you want to call it, but nobody wants to really have a Windows phone or a Windows tablet. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even Windows laptop.
I mean, I'll admit, I give Chris shit for it, but I do like the Windows Phone OS. I mean, it's kind of unique, at least. It's not like Android, which is kind of a ripoff of iOS.
I never got the Windows 8. Can I say something highly controversial?
Go for it.
Something people might be mad at me about? I don't understand what was so bad about Windows Vista. I just don't get it.
It was not very stable.
Okay, I don't know. Was it? Was that something people blame on operating systems?
Oh yeah.
I always just thought my hardware was why I was crashing. I don't know.
That was definitely your OS.
I guess. I don't know. I just remember like I'd always kind of like be like awkwardly like in a group of people metaphorically and be like Windows Vista, right? Ha ha ha! And I'd be like ha ha ha.
Yes, it was a piece of shit.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it had that start menu in it. It ran my programs. Boo! I didn't get it for the longest.
No,
time.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I was
good.
Like, why did everyone hate Vista? It was Windows.
Windows 7 is rock solid.
Better, I like Windows 7. That's the thing. And then it was like, whoa, fuck, Windows 7 is so good. I'm like, it's the same goddamn thing. I'm like,
no,
I'm like,
little
I'm
Michael,
like,
no, it's very,
like,
different.
Am I going crazy? It's literally the same exact goddamn thing. I mean, it's got the start there. You got the, when, you know, you got icons and it's Windows. I don't know.
Hey, it's very different. What can I tell you?
If you say so, I still think everybody just kind of like said it and everyone went with it. Like, yeah, it's Windows Vista's fault. But okay.
Now, what I'm curious to see is the Pro tablet that's running just pure Windows 8 Pro on an Intel processor. That's not even competing with iPads. That's competing with like Ultrabooks and even MacBook Airs and things like that. Like, I wonder if like, you know, more like business oriented people and like people who travel for work, if they'll gravitate to that. Like you said, for long form work, or if they're on an airplane, they need to type up a document.
Well, the problem is always just that the iPad is an institution at this point. It's hard to fight institutions. Well, it's the same reason why people were never really able to make an MP3 player that competed with the iPod back when MP3 players were really a thing.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, I mean, for me personally, at this point, I'm so now heavily invested
in
my iPad and iPhone
just with
apps.
The apps you own and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's hard to go away from that.
Like, people don't need to be making new tablets. They need to be making the next thing, whatever that is. That's the problem. You know, easier said than done. You have to make the next thing before Apple does. You can't beat them at this. I mean, you can try. You'll take some market share. Maybe you'll make a profit off it. You're not going to beat them.
Right.
It's kind of like all these people trying to make World of Warcraft clones.
Exactly.
Like, why?
It's the same thing.
Why?
You're invested. It's already being done well. You're not doing it that much better,
even if you did it better, no one would care, because there's things that come with being popular that are good, and you can't match those.
Yeah,
like having the most apps, having the most support, you know, like that, you can't compete with that, because that's just because it's popular.
Right.
Okay, I guess that's it.
All right, there, we stretched it out pretty good.
I don't know why I thought that was like a dirty joke, but it was low hanging fruit.
That's dirty too.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
Wait, what about the second segment?
I told you there was no second segment.
At least you were going to make one up on
the
fly.
We just made it up on the fly.
Oh. Well, shoot.
Now tell me about what you've been playing.
Okay, this is out of left field, but...
Oh, Christ.
The demo was released for the Amazing Spider-Man on the 3DS. And I was absolutely floored by it.
It's weird because I'm used to the portable Spider-Man games being very bad side-scrollers.
Yeah, and this isn't.
This is like the real game.
At least, well, the demo didn't contain it, and I don't know if the full game will, but there wasn't like an open Manhattan. I mean, it may be in the full game, but I doubt it.
I don't know if the 3DS can do an open world.
Yeah.
I guess the DS did an open world with Chinatown Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know.
When you play the game, Stretch. If you took a screenshot, it doesn't look that great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the animation's top-notch still. Everything looks nice and smooth, mocap.
Does it, like, try to make it, like... Does it just, like, look like worse version of the real game, or is it, like, self-shaded to make up for it?
No. You think they could have done something like that, but no.
It's just, like, okay, I got
But, I mean, the combat, as everyone was kind of predicting and hoping, straight-up Batman.
Right.
You have your attack button... They have, because button real estate was low on it, because you have camera control and LNR, because that's always great. The counterattack button's on the touch screen, and then you have the B button is web slings and, like, a finishing move. But, I mean, it works well, because whereas in Batman, you know, like, if someone's far away, you'd hit attack, and you'd do, like, a kind of contrived backflip to get to them. Well, Spider-Man just, like, web slings onto their chest, zips to him, and kicks him.
Right.
It looks great in motion. And it's good, because it naturally combines punches, kicks, and web attacks.
Well, it's weird, because, like, that bow system almost makes more sense for Spider-Man. Exactly. He literally has a spider sense, so he would know when to dodge.
Exactly. It works really, really, really well. Just moving around the environment with both the web rush, as they call it, where you hit a button, everything kind of slows down. You can see points you could snap to, or you could really go anywhere with it. And Spider-Man will just get there.
You know, I always thought it was web brush.
Huh?
I always thought it was web brush. It's not. Now that you said web brush,
yeah, it's
rushing
to the web.
But when you say web brush...
Yeah. No, you're not brushing web.
Because I always thought it was going to be like, oh, so it's like you draw a line, like an Uncharted. I'm like, that's not really what it is. Why is it called web brush? Web rush.
Yes.
With an R.
Yes.
Makes so much more sense.
Yes.
I get it.
But no, it works great in combat. You could get, like, if there's a guy across the room you want to get to, you zip to him. If there's, like, an environmental weapon, you zip to that and use it. If you're stealthing, you'll see it'll be a purple indicator. So you could, like, you know, very Batman, but makes more sense for Spider-Man. You lower down from the ceiling, web up the guy, take him up, hang him from the ceiling.
I will say it's, like, the web rush is cool, but it's very automatic and low. It's basically point and click.
A little bit.
Is that going to be as good as Spider-Man 2's was? Because the cool thing about Spider-Man 2 was that you were literally you would shoot the web and you would have to attach to something.
Well, you still have web swinging. And
but
like
the
I
web
said,
swinging is like in the Spider-Man 1 game where you're just swinging off of nothing in midair.
Well, I don't know that because, like
I
said,
I saw like the live demo. It definitely was that.
So, I mean, you may not know this. Does that mean in Amazing Spider-Man, the console, if I jump off the Empire State Building and immediately web swing, I'll latch on to something?
I think so.
That stinks.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Do you know that? You don't know that, though.
I don't know for sure, but I'm saying, like, I was watching him do it, and he was web-slinging, like, a middle of the street, and I don't know what he was... It looked very much like the Spider-Man 1 style.
Okay.
The places.
As long as it's still fun to do it. Like, I'm not, like, too worried about, like, the web physics, you know?
I guess, but that's what was cool about the travel in Spider-Man 2. All I'm saying is that this won't be like Spider-Man 2. Yeah. Maybe it'll be fine. It's just not that.
What impressed me, though, there's one point in this demo where you're just going through, like, a wrecked subway car, and the web swing in the 3DS one, you just hold down jump, and he starts doing it. But it was super easy to control. It really felt more like a sprint button and less of a...
Like a flying kind of thing.
But it worked really well for it in the confines of, like, a hallway, you know? I gotta say, I was really impressed by this demo.
My big worry, I'm pretty sure the mechanics of this game are gonna be good. My big worry is that we're gonna get in and be like, yeah, these mechanics are great. I wish somebody made a game out of it. Like, the game itself may not be any good, because it's like a rushed game, you know?
We'll see. I mean, based on previews I've been reading and that demo, I did pre-order it for 360, so.
But, like, we'll you see. Know, it's not like the Batman games where it's like, you know, spend 2 years making this, release it whenever. There's a movie, you know?
Well, they've been working on this for...
Yeah, they always say.
Over 2 years?
Yeah, whatever that means. I'm hoping it's good.
I do, too.
It looks good.
You play anything else?
I play more Max Payne 3.
What do you think?
I read some criticism of it. And when I say criticism, I don't mean like, oh, I hate it. I mean like...
actual critique.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like actual criticism. It was the Grantland guy. I wish I could remember his name. But he brought up something I didn't think about before. The ludonarrative dissonance.
Ooh, that sounds big, Mike. What's that mean?
Well, it was a term coined by another game developer. I wish I knew his name. I don't know any of these people's names. But he critiqued BioShock back when it was kind of a newer thing and was not really like, you don't critique BioShock, you just heap praise on it. And he invented the term because he said the gameplay doesn't match up with the story. Like, the whole story was about how, you know, do you work for the better of all, or do you just become a selfish person?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Ayn Rand, you'd be like Andrew Ryan, or are you going to be like Atlas? But he said when you play the game, you no matter what, you have to just help Atlas.
Like, there was a choice with the Little Sisters, yeah, but like, it's not like you could help the Splicers.
Right. He said, and then they say, the big twist that everybody loves, he said that was a cop-out because it was just, this is why you couldn't have any of your own choice.
Mm-hmm.
People, the big example that people really use with it all the time is like Uncharted, where people say, oh, Nathan Drake's this everyman and whatever, but he's a mass murderer. So that's ludonarrative dissonance.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with Max Payne 3 is Max Payne always goes on about how, especially in the first half of the game, how he's a drunk and a washed-up nobody and an ex-cop, he's way past his prime, blah, 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 but he's also, like, jumping out of windows and shooting 5 people in the head before he lands.
Yeah.
So he's, like, actually a super cop, like, the greatest cop of all time.
Right.
But it makes no sense. So that was interesting. But what's bothering me the more I think about it, and it's bothering me about games in general. Like, I've just been thinking about this nonstop. The game's not about anything. It's not about anything. I just, like, been having this epiphany about games in general. Not enough games are about
things. Like, they don't have, like, a theme
they
or a thesis.
They don't have a theme. And maybe not all games. Like, you know, obviously, like, Mario Galaxy 2 does not need a theme. Doesn't need to have, like, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's something like Max Payne 3. You don't even have, like, oh, it's good versus evil. Because the characters are so kind of gray. This is, like, when I beat Skyrim, too. And this bothered me about Skyrim. And I was thinking about Skyrim. And I like Skyrim. And I like its world. But that game is not about a goddamn thing.
No, but I think Skyrim is the world. It's saying, we gave you a fantasy setting, we've given you like a narrative and some objectives, but it's what you make of it.
Here's the thing, and I think it's almost proved this by the fact that I also like Fallout. That could be any world.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. It doesn't have to be Tamriel with its cat people and its dragon people. It could be any fantasy world, and as long as it was as well realized as it, it would be just as fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it because it's Skyrim. I don't like it because I like those characters or anything like that. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's not even, you can't even say good and evil, which would be the worst thing that something can be about, like the latest thing, but at least it's something. Because in Skyrim, you could be an evil jerk or whatever.
Right.
So it's not even that. So the games aren't about anything. And, you know, I was thinking, like, Metal Gear Solid 1. And this is kind of something because I've been thinking about the Metal Gear Solid series a lot lately because of a project we're doing. But Metal Gear Solid 1. It's very nicely. This is like one of the first games to like have a story.
Right.
It's about how, oh, you know, your genes don't define you and all that stuff. Like the whole thing was that Liquid Snake was bitter because he had the worst genes of the twins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he was going to show Solid Snake that he was better by killing him. But look, turns out that Solid Snake had the worst genes anyways, and he killed him. So ironically, Liquid Snake proved that the genes don't matter, but he was wrong and died.
Yeah.
So it's about that. And like a lot of the supporting plot stuff point, you know, it all leads up to that. So it's a theme.
Yes.
It's a very nice thing. Metal Gear Solid 3, you know, it's all about loyalty. You know, I don't want to go on, but it's all about that. Max Payne 3 is not about a goddamn thing. It's about shooting people in the head.
Yeah.
About shooting a lot of people in the head.
The game would have you think it's about the like this character coming to terms with his past.
It's not about that.
That's what they want you to think. That's what they may have even thought that's what it was.
There's a lot of fun, like, noir-style dialogue. The shooting mechanics
it's
are
all,
very good.
It's all flash and no substance.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, I generally like the game. I think, action's good, the mechanics are good. But, like, those cutscenes where it's, like, words are popping up, like, selectively, it's like those words are really that particularly important.
Yeah, it's just they're being written about. They know it looks cool.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not, yeah, it doesn't really mean anything. It's not like, oh, what's the code here? It's not about a goddamn thing. It's kind of been driving me crazy. Even, like, Uncharted. Like, I like Uncharted. Those games aren't about anything. And that's fine, because that you can get away with that a bit more in those dramas, because you're just like,
it's like a pulpy adventure.
Yeah, like, Indiana Jones isn't about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted, though, at least the very least, you have good beats evil, right? Mm-hmm. Better to be a good person.
Some romance in there.
Those are things. It's not about romance.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like saying Pokemon's about slavery because there's a lot of, like, catching Pokemon. It's not about slavery.
Now, I want to go back to this thing you're talking about the Ludo narrative.
Dissonance, yeah.
What are some of the games you could think of that have that real bad?
Real bad? Were you thinking of something?
I was trying to. I was just curious. I don't know. I found this is one of our more heady discussions.
Well,
I figured we should stick
this
with
this is kind of the problem with Mass Effect 3, right? In that the whole game is everything is about choice. And they always tell you that everything's choice, choice, choice. Then you get to the end of the game, and it's not about choice.
Yeah,
choices don't matter.
True. That's true.
So that's ludonarrative dissonance. Because you just kind of abandon what your whole theme is and introduce a new one at the last second.
I mean, even like, I mean, if we want to get a little more vague about it, like, remember all like every 16-bit RPG, they'd be like, are you ready to embark in this quest? And you'd like, it would come up yes or no. And if you select no, they'd be like, oh, come on,
well,
are you ready?
It was a much bigger problem in older games because of limitations and stuff. Where, you know, we're always being guided. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. And, like, you couldn't really match up the gameplay with what was really supposed to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what was, I think, the biggest, not too recent, but recent-ish example is GTA 4. I mean, all those trailers and the stories about this guy who escaped his criminal life in Russia to come to America to find a new start. And then he hops in a car and starts running down people on the sidewalk.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of these morality games is that if you choose one of the moralities, you completely break the plot. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Red Dead Redemption is the biggest one where you always have the same cutscenes, right? And every cutscene, the main character is the nicest guy ever, right? He's got this redemption. Red Dead Redemption is about something. That's another good example of a game that does this stuff, right?
About redemption.
Yeah, it's about redemption. And, you know, it does it well. Or, you know, escaping your past and catch up to you. You know, all that stuff. Maybe not the most original kind of thing, but if you pick a theme and you go with it and you do it well, it's all good.
Yeah.
But the problem with Red Dead Redemption is if you play as a bad guy, if you start murdering innocent people, then you have total ludo narrative dissonance. In any of the Grand Theft Auto games, when you go on a murderous rampage and then you just go to the hospital and come out of it, that's ludo narrative dissonance. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense.
Now, at least like Saints Row the Third, to go back to that now, and like I don't like care for that game's like whole aesthetic. It just doesn't appeal to me. But at least they kind of embrace that.
Right.
What makes it different.
And I think sometimes maybe it's not a bad. Sometimes really it's just you have to suspend your disbelief more. Like, when I've always seen the Uncharted thing doesn't bother me because I don't really think, like, oh yeah, Nathan Drake murdered 1,000 people. I say, but like, well, it's a shooting game, so I need things to shoot at. I don't really think, like, oh, he actually, you know, he killed all those people. I don't know. I don't dwell on it that much.
Yeah.
It's almost as if, like, it didn't happen in terms of the actual story, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, I need to do that to get there. The problem with Uncharted was that they actually brought it up in Uncharted 2.
Yeah, like they felt
they brought
this
it up
need
themselves,
it. Yeah.
Which they shouldn't have, because then all of a sudden everybody's like, "Oh, they're right." Because like the bad guy's like, "Oh, you've killed 1,000 people." Like, oh, don't say that.
Yeah, and even the way they did it in that game, it was clumsy. Like they brought it up, but then it didn't go anywhere.
Right. It's like, oh, you shouldn't have brought that up. That's awkward. Because I never really think like, oh, he killed 1,000 people. Not because like I don't notice. It's just like I don't really consider it like that. And like I said, if Indiana Jones was a video game, he would also have to murder 1,000 people because that's kind of what you do in video games: is you kill people. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe that's a problem with games, but that's kind of how it is. You can't just stun everybody.
Unless you're playing Metal Gear Solid 3.
All the Metal Gear Solid games, yeah. Well, see, that's where those games kind of work if you stun everybody or if you kill everybody, for the most part, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are nice. I was using Metal Gear Solid as an example. Metal Gear Solid 2 isn't about a goddamn thing.
Nope.
I wish I could go into it in some sort of long-form topic, but maybe someday. But that's ludonarrative dissonance. It's just something I was thinking about, and I was enjoying Max Payne 3 a lot until like I thought about this too much. And it really bothered me that this game was like 10 hours long and not about a goddamn thing. Like, it's nice, like it's presented well.
But like you said, it's a shooting game where all you do is shoot.
And like I'm up to the very end, so maybe there's gonna be something happening at the end. I'll be like, oh, I see. But I mean, it's just about a lot of people dying.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, you know, I mean, Halo, you get some vehicles to break it up.
And
I mean, Uncharted, you have the platforming. I'm kind of with you. I'm starting to get a little fatigued of games that are just shooting.
Like, my favorite series, I'm going to play a series where all I do is shoot things. Gears of War, I guess it's all right, because at least that you have, like, this mini game when you reload, as stupid as that sounds.
Yeah, but no, you're exactly right. That the first time I ever did that, I was like, this is remarkably cool because reloading suddenly matters.
Right.
And it does in a very strange way. It's strangely engaging. You're right.
I'm okay with violence in games if you have to make the violence seem kind of, one, necessary, and two, non-glamorous.
Right.
The problem with Max Payne 3 is it does, like, that slow-down zoom thing on the bullets, and then you see, like, the head explode and stuff like that. It's only done because, supposedly, that's cool. And it's cool.
It also does let you know you killed the last guy in the room.
That's fine, but I don't know if that is functional. It's just, it's kind of makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be like, yeah, awesome. Look at that bullet hole. You know, I shouldn't be celebrating the fact that I'm killing people. Especially Max Payne, because Max Payne seems to be a pretty
full
big...
Full regret.
Yeah, full regret, a pretty big defender of the innocent, but doesn't think twice about killing a lot of these people.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it on Max Payne 3. I don't know. I've been playing more Persona. I've started playing Yoshi's Island again. It's been fun. I think I talked about it a little bit last week. How's the time on here?
I don't know. I don't have a timer, actually.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I feel like we've been doing pretty good.
I did want to talk really quickly. I was, before we recorded tonight, I was kind of futzing around in the real money auction house in Diablo 3.
Did you make any money?
I don't know. I had two crap yellows. I put them up. The cheapest you could sell something for is $1.25.
That's the cheap? Really?
Yeah, and Blizzard takes a dollar cut.
Wow.
But it made me think. I don't understand what Blizzard is trying to gain from this.
I don't like it just because it introduces MMO economics to Diablo.
Exactly, but here's the thing. Diablo's not an MMO.
Right.
Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out. Why do you play Diablo? Like, after you've beat the game, and, like, there have been people who have been playing Diablo 2 since the day it came out. Why do you do that? This isn't rhetorical. Why do you do that?
What, keep playing it?
Yeah.
To get the better items so you can beat it on the hardest mode?
Yeah, and then you keep getting the fat loots until you get, like, the ultimate set that you want.
Right.
But if you could just go out and buy it, then...
Well, it's pointless.
Exactly. But at least, like, in an MMO, the reason you're constantly buying new gear
is always going to be new content.
Right around the corner. I mean, I assume...
It's always going to escalate.
I assume there's going to be some kind of expansion for
Diablo.
There
will be one expansion pack.
But yeah, it's not going to be, like, the same level of stuff coming out that you get in WoW. I mean, maybe once the PvP starts taking off, I guess.
I guess that's what they're hoping, but...
I feel like Blizzard is intentionally cutting their game short in the hopes of making a few bucks.
I still don't understand what the PvP is.
It's going to be arena-based.
So it's like Dota without like everything else?
I guess so.
Except it's like Dota, but only with killing other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Diablo 3, also not really about anything.
No. But that's okay. That game doesn't need to be about anything.
It's starting to drive me crazy.
It's about
fat
loot.
It's not hard to make your stuff about something, you know, just to kind of help it out.
Look, about sacrifice, if you want it to be about something.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, I know.
See, like, that's not hard. That's all you have to do to make, like, people care about your story. Like, no one, like, cares about this story, really. Yeah, it's fine. It's cute. There's some nice cutscenes. Tamriel's cool. Not Tamriel.
Tyrael.
Tamriel's a world. But just make it about something. Pick a theme and write it like that. That's how you do this shit. Otherwise, that's why generic fantasy is generic fantasy.
Yeah.
Because there's not a... Lord of the Rings is about something. That's why people like it.
Game of Thrones is about something.
Harry Potter is about something.
Look, I mean, look at Game of Thrones. If you just look at, like, still images from the TV series and read descriptions of the characters, it's generic fantasy.
Right.
But it's about something, you know?
Make it about something. Pick something. You're a human being. You've lived. What do you want to tell people?
Like, you live.
It's not like these game developers like live in a bubble and they're like, I don't know. What should we tell them?
Don't worry about it. Just blood. Well, I mean, you still got those people out there who think that story in games doesn't matter. Doesn't even have a place in games.
Well, I know why they think that. Because they play games and they say this isn't about anything.
Yeah.
Let's give them like Griffin
Journey
Dango.
Is about something. Flower.
Journey is actually about something.
About something.
Right. Maybe it's like, it doesn't always have to be as obvious as like the things I'm saying, like, oh, it's about betrayal, it's about this. Also, if your thing's about revenge, then it's not about anything. Revenge does not count.
What about revengeance?
Well, revengeance is like 2.4 times the normal amount of revenge.
That was great.
So, revengeance. But, you know, yeah, I can guarantee you that revengeance won't be about a goddamn thing. I don't think any of those games. I think when you say you don't like them, I think that's what you really mean to say. Like, that company. What's that called?
Platinum.
Their games are not about anything.
No.
They're not about things. And, you know, maybe it's not enough for these games to be fun anymore. I've had fun playing games. I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Be about something. Like, God, Men in Black 3, I just saw, is about something.
Yeah, it's Men in Black.
I'm not saying it's got to be, like, the ultimate brain food, but make it about something, you know?
Right.
Get a little bit, like, at least, like, have, like, the amount of, like, theme, like, of, like, a children's movie, you know? Even if, like, they're like, don't hurt the environment. Like, whoop-de-doo. All right, thanks.
Hey, that was in Skyrim, remember?
Yeah. Weren't those the bad guys? No, that was Star Wars where you just, like, you had, that was SWTOR where I had a quest where I just had to kill a bunch of environmentalists.
Let's talk about that treasure map I found.
Oh, that? That was me trying to make Skyrim about something.
I know, that was funny.
Where you got a treasure map, and it led to the middle of a lake.
And I went to the exact spot. There was nothing in that lake but clear blue water.
And I'm like, Angie, maybe the fragile ecosystem of Skyrim is the greatest treasure of all. Christ.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. That's it. Let's see what the releases are.
All right.
I want to think about this more. Like, what games are actually about something?
That's an interesting question. Isn't it sad?
If it's a comedy, it doesn't have to be about something as much. It still could be and should be, but
yeah.
If it's just really funny, like Monkey Island's not about anything.
Yeah, but Grim Fandango sure
Grim Fandango is. Yeah, that's why Grim Fandango
one of the greatest games ever.
It's better than Monkey Island. That's why Monkey Island's great, but Grim Fandango's better.
Yeah. What the hell?
But what's wrong?
Pokemon Conquest. What's that?
This is that weird thing. It's like some popular.
Oh, that weird crossover thing.
It's like a popular, like,
Japanese strategy game?
Yeah,
series?
Action strategy game series from Japan, and they're making a Pokemon crossover. It's really weird, because it's, like, feudal Japanese-looking characters in Pokemon. So I don't know what it is, really, but maybe it'll be cool. Again, though, it's like, why can't they make a Pokemon game for the 3DS? So that's for the DS. The Dark Eye, Chains of Satana for the PC. I bet that's not about anything.
It's a point-and-click adventure.
Yeah, I bet it's not about anything. Spellforce 2, Faith and Destiny for PC. Probably not about anything.
I bet it's about Faith and Destiny. They're telling you what it's about, right?
Steel
there.
Battalion Heavy Armor for 360. I bet that's about heavy armor.
I gotta get the demo still to try it. I haven't gotten around.
Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes. I bet you somehow this game is about more things than these other games on this list.
Apparently, the I've heard people saying that, like, this game finally nails being Superman.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Well, because... You know what the design challenge is? Oh, how do you make Superman? Because he's too powerful and immortal, and it's no fun to play. But, I mean, the Lego games, you basically are powerful and immortal, and it's not, like, a big deal.
Right.
So it works in a Lego game.
Weird.
Being like Superman.
Brave, the video game for 360.
You do not seem too plussed on this.
It was ugly. It was very ugly.
Yeah.
Sid Meier's Civilization V, Gods and Kings.
I'm doing my happy dance.
It's okay to not be about something if you're also, like... A weird strategy game. If you're basically a
board game.
Yeah, if you're a glorified board game, Monopoly. Actually, Monopoly's kind of about something.
Yeah,
about economic greed.
Shit.
You know, if Monopoly is about more, it's about more than Max Payne 3 is. That's all I'm saying. It's about the addiction to painkillers. I guess at one point Max Payne, like, stops being an alcoholic, so maybe it's about how alcohol is bad. Although, he seemed no less or more effective with or without alcohol, so...
Quantum Conundrum comes out this week.
Which one's that?
That's the new game from the girl who designed Portal. Kim Swift.
Oh.
Yeah, with the you transform things into different universes.
So why did she, like, leave Valve?
I think basically she... had this idea she wanted to pursue, and they're like, "Yeah, no." And she's like, "Well, I kind of want to do it," so she went and did it.
Interesting. You never hear about people like, "I want to leave Valve."
Yeah, right.
Ship Simulator Extremes Collection for PC. Extremes Collection.
Yeah.
Not the Extreme Collection. The Extremes Collection. Clan of Champions is a hardcore multiplayer action game.
I believe
360. And Magic the Gathering 2013. I guess that's like a yearly thing now, like Madden, Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Christ.
I want to look at a screenshot of Clan of Champions.
You would.
Of course, it's super low res. I don't know. It doesn't look like anything. It looks like a knockoff of Dark Souls.
Okay.
But bad.
All right. Thanks. I can't even thank people. I'm mad. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everyone. Sounds super sarcastic. You can find more of us at explodingbarrelpodcast.com.
ebpodcast.com. I know I got it wrong. ebpodcast.com is the website. Not explodingbarrelpodcast.com. ebpodcast.com. iTunes Music Store. Go there. Leave us a review. Tell us about how our show's about something. Maybe it's about, I got a great idea for this review, also. but, this is going to be good. So, but, oh, shit, what was I? Twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye. Metaphorically, and be like, ah, Windows Vista, right? Ha, ha, ha. And I'd be like, ha, ha, ha.